Well, good afternoon, men of Huddle. I want to thank first the Huddle leadership for the great privilege of sharing. It is always a privilege to share God's Word, and to be honest with you, I'm a little intimidated by sharing with this particular group. But I'm here to share what I believe God would have us to share with you. I want to thank the men of Huddle. I know you've been praying for my physical well-being, and God is in control. He's still in the healing process, and I thank you for that. I want to thank, got a lot of texts of encouragement, even this morning, and I want to thank you guys for doing that as well. What I want to share is 10 reasons why we study the Bible. Now, there's thousands of reasons, but I'm going to share 10 that I see, what I think the Bible says about itself. But I want to share with you today is something that is now and has been for a number of years a burden that has become one of my life missions. And what is it? It's this: to see men and women of the Christian faith know what the Bible says and where it says it. We're very good at knowing what we are to live by. We're good at knowing that we're to live by the standards that God's Word offers. We're good to know that God's Word offers strength for the journey, but do you know where it says it? We're good at knowing that sex outside of sin is, or sex outside of marriage is sin, but do you know where it says it? We're good at knowing that marriage is God ordained, but do you know where it says it? Do you know in God's Word where to take someone to show them this is what God's Word says about you being saved? We're good at living out the Scriptures, based our lives on Scripture, but do we know where it says it? It's a burden of mine that people know more than just a few common verses, but we need to know where God's Word says what it says. When sharing with those I meet in counseling or even in casual conversation about the things of the Lord, I always try to refer to the Bible. Now, let me tell you why. When talking to people about the Lord, it's not my great, sweet personality or my tremendous, you know, book cover good looks that's going to win people to the Lord. I'll be honest with you. I'm fully aware of that. But let me tell you something. God's Word says, I have the final say. And His Word will give us the answers. Let me give you a few things that we often talk about that I always take people to the Word to talk about. Do you know where to take someone to show them that homosexuality is sin? Do you know where to take someone about salvation? Do you know God's Word, where it says strength for tough times? Do you know where in the Bible it talks about repentance? Do you know where it talks about building each other up or perfection? Do you know about hope and comfort? Do you know where it says that husband and wife relationship is God ordained? Do you know where it says why marriage instead of cohabitation? You probably get the idea that this, by now, that this isn't going to Max kisses my ears message, okay? It's not. But by the same token, it's not a condemnation of who we are in Christ either. This lesson today is a lesson of challenge. Hopefully a lesson of challenge to you to get to know God's Scripture, not only what it says, but where it says it. General Norman Schwarzkopf, the commander of the Allied forces in Desert Shield and Desert Storm in the early 1990s, exercised this simple premise of authority. A leader never walks by a mistake. Let me say it again. A leader never walks by a mistake. If we, as the spiritual leaders of our homes, our churches, and our communities, if we are making a mistake in our Christian walk, it's this. We understand the principles of Scripture, but we don't know where to find them. It's not a condemnation. It's a simple fact that we need to study God's Word and know where it says what it says. Oswald Chambers wisely commented on the transforming power of even 5 minutes in the presence of the Lord. Indeed, even a short time in God's Word has great value. He says, and I quote, "It is not the thing on which we spend the most time that molds us, but the thing that exerts the greatest power. 5 minutes with God and His Word is worth more than anything in the rest of the day." We read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15 these words, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those whom you have learned it from." A lot of us don't even realize it, but there's a problem between what the writer of the passage says and what we truly know. The problem is this. We learn from others, we trust others and what they tell us, but do we know the Scriptures well enough to know if it's true? Not saying that it isn't, but do you know where to look to know that the messages that we hear are biblical? I want to read to you a devotional I got a few weeks ago from one of the devotionals I do every day. It's from Moments with You by Dennis Rainey. Excuse me. It says this. I'm afraid too many of us Christians don't know what we really believe. Like a cork in the ocean, driven and tossed by the waves, we bounce from opinion to opinion, influenced more by the last book we read than by a lifetime of biblical study. We become activity junkies, seldom stopping long enough to decide what really matters to us, too busy to determine what's really worth living for, let alone worth dying for. As a result, we live our lives based on near beliefs. Near beliefs have just enough truth in them to sound strangely familiar to convictions, yet they're too weak to inspire us to our actions, too anemic to influence us to make a decision that demands a sacrifice. Near beliefs wimp out when someone is pushing you out of his or her life. Near beliefs won't keep a marriage together when romance fades. Near beliefs almost always fall silent on such issues as same-sex marriages and homosexuals adopting children. Near beliefs don't inspire the courage to change a behavior or to press on against the disapproval or the opposition of the herd. Near beliefs are to blame for a brand new kind of Christianity that is epidemic in our homes and churches, a faith that has little flavor, little light, and little influence. When near beliefs are our only source of motivation, tough standards are never taken, feathers are never ruffled, and absolutes are held very loosely. Without core convictions based on our knowledge of God's Word to help us, navigate, we stand uneasily on shifting sand, and we lack the solid footing with which to stage a life of principle and character. Today, Men of Huddle is a call to biblical conviction, a call to spending time studying God's Word, not reading books about it. This is a primer to each of us to know what God's Word, the Bible, says and where it says it. So with all that said, let's get your pens and pencils ready. You'll see you've got some fill-ins there. Got 10 reasons why we study the Bible. Now, there are thousands of reasons, but these 10 are what I see what the Bible says about itself. I will read you the Scriptures listed, then you can fill in the blanks. Number 1, James chapter 1, verse 21. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the Word that is planted in you, which can save you. 1 Peter 1:23, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. Number 1, we study the Bible because it saves. Because it saves. I'm not going to share a story about all of 10 of these. I'm only going to share this story about this one, the first one. I'd been saved about 3 months. I had officially stepped down from the vice commander of the American Legion at Sharpsville. The guy that was the commander, I told him, I said, I've given my life to Jesus, and I just don't feel that this fits right now where the Lord wants me. And he said, well, I don't understand that. And I said, I don't either, and I'll be honest with you, I don't. When I got saved at age 30, I knew nothing about the Lord or the Bible or Jesus. I just knew that he'd saved me. This guy comes over to my house about a month later, and he says, and he brings a Masonic Bible, one of those table Bibles. Seriously, it's about that wide and about that thick. And he brought it over and he plopped it down on my living room couch and he said, can you show me what happened to you? And I said, no, sir, I cannot. I said, I'll tell you what you do, though. Somebody told me that if you'd read the Gospels, that you'll find Jesus. He said, okay. So he folded up that big book and about 3 months later he came back. And he said, Max, he said, I don't know where I'm supposed to go, but he said, I think I need to meet this Jesus. It's God's Word that did it. It wasn't man. And we need to understand that when all else fails, we take them to God's Word. It will stand and people can get saved there. Okay? Number 1. We study the Bible because it saves. Number 2. John chapter 15, verse 3. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. John 17:17. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Number two, we study the Bible because it makes us clean. It makes us clean. Number three, Romans 15:4. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. Acts 20:32. Now I commit you to God and to the word of His grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those that were sanctified. Number three, we study the Bible because it builds us up. It builds us up. Let me get a drink. I'm very dry today. Number four, Isaiah 40:8. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. John 1:1-5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. John 12:34, the first part. The crowd spoke up. We have heard from the law that Christ will remain forever. 1 Peter 1:25. But the word of the Lord stands forever. Number four, we study the Bible because it is eternal. It is eternal. It's forever. It's sure, but it's eternal. Number five, Psalm 37:3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. 1 Timothy 4:6. If you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of the faith and in the good teaching that you have followed. Number five, we study the Bible because it nourishes. It nourishes. It feeds us. Number six, Jeremiah 23:29. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks rocks to pieces? Malachi 3:2-3. But who can endure the day of His coming? Who can stand when He appears? For He will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them as gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says this, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Ephesians 6:17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Number six, we study the Bible because it is powerful. It is powerful. Number seven, 2 Timothy 3:16-17. For all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for all teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Psalm 138:8. The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the teaching, or do not abandon the works of your hands. Now let me qualify this one just a little bit before I give you what to write down. These two scriptures say teaching, rebuking, correcting, training, the Lord will fulfill His purpose. What is God's purpose for us? We find the answer to that. It's not on your paper. You can write it down. Matthew 5:48, it says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. We study God's Word because it perfects. It perfects. Number eight, Romans 15:4. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Psalm 103:2-6. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. John chapter 14, I am not going to read it all. I am going to read John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Most of you are familiar with this. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me, Jesus says. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. Hallelujah. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you that you may be with me where I am. Hallelujah. You know the way to the place where I am going. And Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus answered, how many can say this with me? I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We study the Bible because it gives us hope and comfort. We find hope and comfort in God's Word. Number 9. Proverbs, the entire book. I am not going to read it. Don't have enough time. But I'm going to read Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as silver and search for it as a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Number 9, we study the Bible because it teaches. It teaches. And finally, number 10, we study the Bible because 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to present yourselves to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. We study the Bible, let me just elaborate just a little bit. The wording in 2 Timothy 2:15 says this, do your best. We're commanded to do our best. And we study God's Word because we are commanded to. We're commanded to do our best to know God's Word. Do your best to know God's Word. We study God's Word because of this. It saves, it makes us clean, it builds us up, it's eternal, it nourishes, it's powerful, it perfects, it gives us hope and comfort. It teaches, and we are commanded to. In conclusion, a lifelong study of God's Word is imperative to the healthy growth of a Christian. Our study of God's Word is one of the basic elements of helping others grow to become mature Bible-studying Christians. Let me say something here, lest I leave some of you with hurt feelings. I had a discussion just last week with someone. Well, I don't have the memory to memorize all of it. Okay, use your concordance and find the answers. Very few Bibles don't have. We can find the answers. Study it to know where you can find it. You don't have to memorize it, just know how to get there. So let me say this, lest I leave anyone with hurt feelings. It is good to read books about the Bible. I read books about the Bible and about godly men and women who are doing great things. I encourage you, read books about the Bible and learn from them. I'm currently reading God's at War by Kyle Idleman. I think some of you are probably familiar with that. I've got one sitting next to my chair. That's the next one on my list to start reading. Phil Templin talked me into getting this, and I leafed through it. It's a great one. Most of you are familiar with it. It's called The Circle Maker by Mark Batterson. I believe we ought to be reading good books. However, we need to study and know God's Word. We read a lot about God's Word. We need to read and study God's Word. The key to today's lesson is this. The bottom line is study the Bible. Get familiar with God's Word. Know where it says what it says and why it says it. And I guarantee you, you will grow and God will use you in the process. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, first and foremost, for the strength that only you could have given today. I want to thank you for that. I thank you for this tremendous ministry, this huddle where we as men can come together, learn from you. But Lord, more than anything else, I want to thank you for who you are in our lives. I thank you for Jesus that gives us a new start when we don't deserve it. I thank you for your healing. Thank you for the fellowship. Thank you for the strength that we do not deserve. But above all, we want to say we love you. And I thank you, Lord, for this privilege to share and to be shared. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.